Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Compliance Week News Podcast. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week, and today we are going to talk about SAS 70 audits and certification, and particularly how reliable SAS 70 audits may or may not be. For the uninitiated, SAS 70 stands for the Statement on Auditing Standards Number 70, and it is essentially a standard by which auditing firms would inspect the internal controls of a service provider, something like a consulting firm or an IT vendor or a staffing firm or any of the other vendors a larger public company might use. Now, in recent years, we've seen a lot of vendors suddenly start declaring themselves SAS 70 compliant or SAS 70 certified, or they've survived a SAS 70 audit and so forth, and at least in theory, public companies are supposed to rely on these audits as proof that the vendors have strong internal controls, much the same way the Sarbanes-Oxley Act mandates public companies have strong internal controls. Now, today's guest, however, warns that SAS 70 audits are not necessarily as reassuring as vendors might say. David Barton is a principal at UHY Advisors, and he says audits are nowhere near as reliable as Sarbanes-Oxley audits, and companies should tread carefully when vendors are touting themselves as SAS 70 certified or compliant. So, David, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Matt.
Now, first question. Your general contention is that the phrase SAS 70 certification is being tossed around way too casually and imprecisely. So maybe start by outlining exactly what your worries are here.
Okay. First off, I think imprecisely is probably the better terminology.
Sure.
There is no SAS 70 certification. You know, there is ISO certification. There are other types of certification, but all of those have a particular standard that is outlined that a certifying body can go by.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not the case when you are looking at a service auditor's report, which is basically the same thing as a SAS 70 audit report. And so my contention is that when you see SAS 70 certified, it is completely made up in terms of the fact that there is no real SAS 70 certification. AICPA does not recognize a certification for a SAS 70 audit.
So as an audit itself, it's not really done according to, say, generally accepted accounting principles, or the audit is done against what format, what set of rules?
Okay, that's where the misconception comes in.
Yeah.
Statement on Auditing Standard 70 is an auditing standard.
Mm-hmm.
It is for the auditor in terms of how they go about performing one of these audits.
Yep.
It is not a standard of that you must have certain levels of controls or certain types of controls in place in order to be certified. So that's where the misinformation has come in. There is certainly a standard for how these audits are conducted, but when you are the reader or the recipient of one of these SAS 70 reports, the main thing you have to remember is that you must read the report in its entirety. And you can't just rely on the fact that, you know, on the website of your co-location facility, they say they're SAS 70 certified, so everything must be okay. No. You have to read the report, and you have to read the report within the context of your own internal control structure to determine whether or not all of the controls that you feel are important to running your business and all of the controls that are important to the accurate financial statements that you're going to produce are included within the context of that SAS 70 report for that service provider.
So tell us a little about how this state of affairs came to pass or how severe of a problem it may be. Are there large portions of corporate America, you think, that gloss over the risks of a supposed SAS 70 certification or don't really understand exactly what the details of it are?
Absolutely. There are a lot of CPA firms out there that are putting SAS 70 reports out there that are basically high-level overviews of controls and do not provide the level of detail that should be in place for the level of services that are being provided. the way it came to pass, as I had mentioned before, is that so many companies that rely on these SAS 70 reports, the reports are generated by auditors for auditors. So with the passage of the SOX legislation, the SAS 70 reports became that much more important because, again, the SAS 70 report is designed to basically render an opinion as to the control structure at a service organization, which is by extension part of the internal control structure for the publicly held company that uses that service organization.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as how that came to be an issue, prior to SOX, so many of the companies that were receiving the SAS 70s, it was one of those items on the checklist for the external auditors. And you had the two-year junior auditor from one of the big four come in and say, oh, well, you use a service bureau for your, you know, for your IT. Do you have a SAS 70 for that company? And the internal auditor or the CFO, you know, passes the SAS 70 report to the junior two-year auditor from the big four, and he checks off the box, and away you go. In other words, nobody really read it to understand what the controls were that were
yep.
described in the report and what the results of the testing of those controls really was. So
now let's say I'm a publicly traded company then, and I rely on outside vendors all the time. And my vendor now waves this SAS 70 audit in front of me to ease the worries I might have about his internal controls. What's my proper response there? Since I do need to know that their controls are reliable, I mean, how, should I do my own investigation, or should I just pour over the audit at face value, or are there any other questions or concerns I should be thinking through when I'm going through this?
Absolutely, Matt. The key, again, is to read the report in its entirety and read it in the context of your own organization's internal control structure. Again, another common misconception about SAS 70, the control description, which is Section 2 of the report, is basically the service organization's description of their internal controls. Section 3 is where the auditor, the service auditor, which, you know, in our case would be UHY Advisors, doing a SAS 70 audit of a company, would list out the individual control objectives and the control activities that support those, as well as the testing that was performed and the results of that testing.
Mm-hmm.
And under the standard, under SAS 70 standard, we are to use professional judgment in reviewing those controls and the results of that testing to determine if the overall control structure is adequate for the type of business that is being conducted, the type of services that are being offered, and whether or not the controls are adequate for the user organization or the typical user organization for that service organization. And secondly, the second part of the quandary is when we do an audit, the control description and all of those control objectives and activities are provided to us by the service organization. Many people don't realize that. We as auditors don't go into performing a SAS 70 and say, these are the controls we feel like you need to have in place given the type of service that you're providing to your customers.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the opposite. So basically, the service organization makes up the test, okay, and we as auditors come in and perform the test and give them a grade. So if the service organization wants to have a passing grade, so to speak, there are ways for them to list very few controls that need to be tested, for example. Now,
actually, I wanted to sneak in one last question, if I could then. Along
mm-hmm.
those lines, let's say I have two different IT vendors,
right.
and they get SAS 70 audits from two different accounting firms. Is this necessarily still an apples-to-apples comparison, since the vendors themselves, you know, as you said, they're making up their own tests that they need to pass?
Well, and that's where the reader has to be very careful as to looking at, you know, what is included in the report, what are the results of the testing, What, if any, exclusions are listed within the opinion letter, which would be the first part of the report, in order to determine whether or not, you know, the level of controls that exist are satisfactory for their particular business. So yes, again, don't confuse the standard with the standard of controls. The standard is for the auditor. And so while, you know, it's apples to apples in terms of, yes, there's going to be an opinion letter, there's going to be a description of controls, and then there's going to be a section describing the testing that was performed and the results of that. The individual controls can be very, very different. And that's really where the rubber meets the road. So be careful when you are reading one of those reports to be sure that the controls being described are adequate for your organization.
All right, David, that is all the time we have today, but you gave us plenty to think about here, so I really appreciate all your time.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity, and hopefully I've cleared up some of the misconceptions that are out there in the marketplace.
And again, everybody, that was David Barton of UHY Advisors talking with us about the perils of taking a SAS 70 audit or certification at face value. That is all the time we have this week. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week. Thank you very much for listening, and I hope you all join us again next time.